America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian and Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Steve Day, who does support Radio Liberty. And Steve has a lodge where he helps people maintain their health. It's called Home for Health, and basically it's a lodge in the hills of Kentucky where they have seven individuals or families living, people with chronic disabling disease. A Christian ministry which helps people who are really totally disabled, who've gone through the regular means of treatment and really have had little or no results, success. Hi, Steve. How are we doing tonight?
Hello, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure to be on tonight. I'm doing excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Did you just get in? You had written something about you were going to be doing some traveling.
Oh, yes. We just got back a couple of days ago. We traveled about 1,300 miles in 2 days. So.
Okay. Very good. Well, basically, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about what Home for Health is and why certainly you've dedicated your life to this objective?
Well, Home for Health was designed with the idea that conventional medicine that's out there is really not conventional. There's nothing normal about it. A system where I do believe most doctors mean very well and that many of them have good intentions. But unfortunately, the options that are out there are very toxic, very harmful. You know, if anybody's had cancer out there, they'll know that the main options that are given them are chemical poisons, surgery, the scalpel, or to burn it out with radiation. And most of the people that go through those types of things, those treatment programs, will find within a year or two or sometimes three or four, the cancer will return and return with a vengeance. And many times people fare much better not doing anything at all instead of going through the conventional routes. So we came up with something as an alternative, not just for cancer, but for many different types of things. And we've seen all sorts of people with all sorts of chronic health conditions manage complete recoveries, and we've been really blessed. It's a Christian ministry, like you said, and it's an alternative to some of these higher-priced expenditures out there, the places in Mexico and in Europe. But, yeah, that's what we're about.
And they have some medicines that they claim will prolong your life for 4 or 4.5 months, and of course this question whether it really prolongs the life at all, but we're talking about $40,000 or $50,000 for the medicines. Why certainly would they come up with a medicine that cost $40,000 or $50,000 to prolong your life for 4 or 4.5 months when even some of these are very, very questionable? Well, I hate to say this, but it's all designed around profit, and it's also designed around the idea that it appears that they're doing something. And yet, if you look at the longevity of people with hard tumors, I'm talking about cancer of the lung, cancer of the liver, cancer of the pancreas, cancer of the kidney, cancer of the breast, certainly the longevity has not certainly increased significantly. Have you found that certainly that the conventional treatment certainly of those types of tumors has not helped people prolong their lives measurably?
Now, most of the people that we have met were given options. I mean, by the time we get to talk to them, they're actually looking and open to other things. And so we get to be on the other end. And a lot of the folks that we've had, we had a gal here, one of our first guests. She was given 2 months to live by her doctor. And she didn't go that route, didn't do the chemo and all of that. And she ended up, she's still alive and well today, many years later.
And of course, the thing is, the chemo will shrink the tumors, but it doesn't cure the tumor. It actually destroys the immune system, which can fight the tumor. The radiation may shrink the tumor, but it doesn't cure. Usually, certainly, cure the tumor. It lowers the immunity so your body can't fight it. And ladies and gentlemen, there are alternatives. They're available in other countries. They're not available here. We have to ask ourselves why. Why can't people have the freedom to get well when they have terminal disease?
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Disaster can strike at any time. That's why Americans spend billions on insurance policies. But what about investing into disaster preparedness supplies, especially food? After Hurricane Sandy, people waited weeks for help to arrive. Be prepared for anything with Mountain House freeze-dried foods, the finest in the industry, packed in heavy-duty double-enameled number 10 cans with over 99% of the oxygen removed for the longest shelf life of any product available. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. Save 25% on Mountain House number 10 cans, April 2nd through the 8th, with free shipping to the lower 48 states. Visit freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Get 25% off April 2nd through the 8th. Act today. Don't miss out.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest is Steve Day from Home for Health. And go ahead, Steve. Now, of course, you've been at this. How long have you been offering alternative treatments and dietary treatments and re-education and detoxification to people here in this country?
Well, my wife and I, we got started in 2001. We were working back then in an internship program, going from house to house and working with people on an individual basis. But about 4 years ago, we took over Home for Health, this facility out in the foothills of eastern Kentucky. And we've been able to actually offer something where people will come and stay with us for a couple of weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, up to 8 weeks at a time. And it's been a marvelous thing to see people come through that have been sick and get restoration, be healed. And we've worked with a broad barrage of different types of ailments, and it's just been a wonderful experience. This whole thing has been just a blessing, and in so many different ways we've seen so many answered prayers and so many just miraculous events in being a part of this. And we're extremely blessed to be part of restoration of people that are sick and hurting and in need of help. And everyone out there, Dr. Stan, that is sick, they're trying to look for somebody they can trust, look for information they can count on. And so many of the people that you might turn to look for, they're out to make a dollar. Even within the realms of the alternative treatment network, there's so many people that will push thousands of dollars worth of supplements and drugs and pills And I don't believe any of this is something that we should be doing. We should be looking for restoration, and it shouldn't be anything insanely expensive. It should be something that is natural and obtainable by anybody.
Well, but aren't some of these supplements important? For instance, vitamin D, doesn't that play a very important part in maintaining our health and our immune system and some of the minerals that we need? What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I think that one of the things that you would find that virtually everybody out there with cancer and autoimmune disease has extremely deficient levels of vitamin D. Vitamin D3 is a very beneficial supplement for a lot of things. But if you count the cost of what it might cost for a month's supply of vitamin D, it might be, you know, $5 or $10. And that's a big difference than, you know, a medication that you might be picking up for $100 or $200. We see people that are spending up and beyond what their insurance companies will cover, $600, $700, $800 a month for these medications. And that is a very binding system. It's a type of slavery to keep you in bondage to the system. And for the most part, a lot of these medications are absolutely pointless. And I'll tell you, Dr. Stan, many times we've taken people back through their various medications, and we've shown them, starting with their first medication they were put on, and looked at the side effects that those medications will cause, and then that there were other drugs given to cover up those side effects that the first medication caused. And then this cycle just keeps going on and on and on until somebody might be on 50 or 60 different pills. And ultimately, through proper diet, through exercise, and just a change in lifestyle altogether, most of these diseases go away because we're not dealing with symptoms. We're actually dealing with the root cause and how somebody can actually be healthy and free from all of that.
And, of course, I think the important thing is that people understand that God designed our bodies to heal themselves. And certainly there is a place for doctors. I certainly, as an orthopedic surgeon, why is it that we used to straighten out bones? But I never healed a bone. God healed the bones. I might put in all sorts of plates and screws to line them up, but God actually heals them. The body has an amazing capacity to heal. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment for Steve, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have something you'd like to know, but you have to ask, why is the incidence of cancer increasing? Why is it that certainly the longevity from cancer with certain most tumors is not decreasing with all the billions and billions and billions of dollars we're spending on all these medicines? And this is a trillion-dollar industry every year. And yet, of course, certainly the incidence of cancer is not overall falling. Certainly, people are not living longer with the hard tumors. Certainly, they're much better with the lymphomas. That used to be 100% almost cure. Pardon me, 100% death sentence, leukemia, lymphoma. Of course, I can remember my grandfather. My grandfather had a chronic lymphoma. And what did he do? Why, he actually distilled wine. He made a red wine. He drank that, and he eventually died of a gunshot wound. But he lived long after the doctor said he would have been dead. And I really believe, of course, now understanding the part resveratrol and wine play, why, of course, he was way, way ahead of his time. And basically, Steve, why don't you tell our listeners about some of the people you've taken care of? And if you're out there in the audience, you have a question for Steve, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And what certain types of diseases do you treat? Is this cancer? Is this chronic fatigue? Is this chronic infection? Is this mental or emotional problems? What type of diseases is this applicable to?
That's great. I would say all of the above, Dr. Stan. We've had people from all different groups. And if we were to categorize those that come through, we probably get about 30% of those that come through are from some sort of cancer. We get a portion that are diabetic, high blood pressure, those types of issues. And then we get a portion that are autoimmune issues. And that can range quite widely as well, from things like Crohn's and IBS to things like multiple sclerosis and fibromyalgia and lupus and these different things. And even within those categories, a lot of times we'll find heavy metal toxicity, and virtually everybody has some overburden of toxic metals and stuff like that. But as we break it down, we've worked with everyone that we've ever had come through with lymphoma has gotten well without chemotherapy or radiation or anything, but simply through drinking carrot juice and changing your diet and lifestyle, and not just carrot juice, that's being simplistic, but very simple means and a great restoration. Almost everybody we've ever worked with leukemia has gotten a complete recovery, and it's very simple. I mean, just giving somebody appropriate amounts of vitamin A, B12, and different things to stimulate the immune system to produce appropriate amounts of white blood cells. Very, very simple way to get people well. And we've had 50 or 60 women come through in the last 4 years with breast cancer and prostate cancer. We've had a lot of men with prostate cancer. And I'll say that everybody that we've ever had come through, all the men with prostate cancer are alive and well today. They've gotten over their problem. And just a broad barrage. Not too long ago, we had Brandy King come on one of the programs, and she had recovered from multiple sclerosis. And we've had several ladies come through that have overcome multiple sclerosis, and they hadn't had to be on these medications. I mean, we had one gal that was spending $3,000 a month. Her husband was a contractor, $3,000 a month for the medication for multiple sclerosis. And she spent about that coming here, but she doesn't have to spend any of that money anymore. I mean, she's completely free from all of those medications, and she hasn't had a relapse since. So this is a liberating thing, and this is going back to what humanity really needs. And you did bring it up a bit there when you talked about vitamin D and minerals. And what we're going to find is that the vast majority of these sicknesses come from imbalance, whether it be nutritional deficiency. The food supply is completely it's got about the nutritional value of cardboard. And we like to educate people on how they can reverse that and how they can change that. We like to show people how to avoid some of the toxic substances, much like what you talk about on your program, the unnecessary fluoridation, the toothpaste and the water and the chlorine and all the different things that are coming in and bombarding us.
Hold that thought. Let's go to Dave. He's calling us from the central part of New York. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the central part of California. Dave, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. A question for you, gentlemen. Thinking about cancer and the prevalence of cancer in all parts of the body, I'm wondering why we never hear of a cancer of the heart.
That's a good question, isn't it? It's probably more or less because the heart being such a vital organ, it has a lot of the nutrients in it that are going to be responsible for maintaining itself and keeping itself healthy, although that wouldn't explain the brain very well. But there is a level of activity. The body does its very best to shuffle toxic material and that away from the areas that are in the most use. And so that's why many times it goes into places like in the case of breast cancer, you know, women wearing underwire bras. It's a great place to collect toxic substances in the breast tissue when the lymph is not in connection with the rest. So maybe the activity of the heart would also have something to do with it. But
I really can't tell you, Dave. Anything else you wanted to ask?
Well, what are the main nutritional elements? If the heart were to be analyzed and the heart valves in a lab or something, somebody deceased that was healthy, what would be the main things that nutritional vitamins and minerals that are in the heart?
Well, the same thing is in the rest of your body, Dave. But thanks very much for calling. And that's, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But certainly, the heart certainly represents the same tissues, the same cellular things, the same nutrition that would all be throughout the body. But exercise is certainly one of the things that really helps to keep cells working and functioning well. And believe me, the heart goes all the time. Those cells are constantly working. And the heart is one of the most amazing, amazing organs in the human body. And it starts when you're very, very young. It just keeps you right on pumping all the way until you die. So Anyway, there's a big question out there. Why don't forget, don't hesitate to give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But certainly the cellular structure of the heart is like the cellular structure of all of our organs, and it has exactly the same nutrients.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, sure to do what we do, being free of diseases, real well. Home for Health.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it, taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now. 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
There now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Steve Day from Home for Health. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Give us a call if you have a question or comment. But there's so many chronic diseases out there that are really disabling people. These are new diseases. They didn't exist when I went through medical school. Chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and Lyme disease and Legionnaire's disease. And so many of these, AIDS, these are all new diseases. plaguing humanity, and the question is, why? And why aren't there any effective treatments for them? Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. You got a question for Steve? Steve, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you if they'd like to?
Okay, thank you, Dr. Stan. They can go to the Home for Health website. That's homeforhealth.net, homeforhealth.net. Or they could call the 1-800 number, which is 888-642-9644. Again, that's 888-642-9644. We would love to be able to communicate with whatever someone's issues, questions, their health concerns might be.
And basically, can a woman's husband come with her, or can a man's wife come with her when they're coming to your facility?
Yeah, we've had times where whole families will come. I mean, the facility has 7 guest rooms. Each one is like a little hotel suite. And so, we even will have children come. This last session, we had an infant. I would say that, we would rather have, children, infants that sleep through the night and that kind of stuff. We don't want to disturb everyone else here. But we had one family that brought 2 children with them. That's 4 people in one room, and they had a great time. But, families can come, husbands and wives. We've had family reunions here. One time we had a whole bunch of ladies from Puerto Rico that came, and it was just like having a healthy family reunion for 2 weeks with them. So it was a real joy. But we have people come from all over, all sorts of diseases, all sorts of health conditions, and they can come with whoever they like.
And, of course, there's a common denominator for all the diseases of certain standard treatments. Now, first of all, why glean from Steve and, of course, from many people I've talked to who do treat these chronic diseases, that almost everybody is toxic, and they're toxic because they have chronic poisoning. They have chronic poisoning from mercury and from lead and from fluoride and from cadmium. And these things are in the environment. They're artificially, and whether the mercury you get from your vaccine shots or the mercury you get from your mercury fillings, fortunately, about half the dentists in America are willing to recognize they've been poisoning people and stop using the mercury fillings. The others, though, have not. And so many people have the mercury fillings in that are constantly, of course, venting mercury. And what percentage of the people that you evaluate certainly have one or another form of chronic metal poisoning or pesticide or herbicidal poisoning?
You'd be amazed that virtually everyone that comes through has toxicity of some form or another. We've had people that, as we put them through a detox, that appeared very healthy and were just blown away with all the stuff that came out of them, ranging from parasites to sludge that was probably built up in their gallbladder, all sorts of things. I mean, the heavy metals that pervade the body, not just from the water, but also the teeth, the vaccines that you had mentioned, but I mean, all sorts of things, the aluminum in the air, it's all around us and it's hard to escape it. We can do our best, but everyone needs to clean this stuff out at some point. And it can go a long way with most people, whatever their health condition is. Most people do very well and benefit very much from going through a nice cleanse on that end.
And then once you get the toxicity out, doesn't that sort of facilitate the body beginning to heal itself?
Absolutely. If somebody has some sort of neurological issue, Parkinson's, MS, and may have a whole bunch of mercury fillings, it's very, very unlikely that you're going to be able to overpower the amount of mercury in that is damaging all of those neurons and nerve endings in the body. You have to work on getting all of this stuff out. Sometimes, most of the time, you would have people remove those and take chelators in that until they can get all of that out of the system. And sometimes you'll find that that's enough to actually revert things like Parkinson's and MS completely.
And people find it so difficult to believe that this sort of thing could be real, but I will never forget when I had my mercury fillings out, I had done by a very skilled dentist. But when he finally took out all the dams, we were all done, I thought it was all over, and suddenly all the things he'd put in there in my mouth to protect me, and suddenly I got such a bolus of mercury, and really it's just of mercury vapors, and it just devastated me. I got over it very shortly, but you realize suddenly how toxic this is. I've had all of my mercury fillings removed. But you don't want to just go to the regular dentist. There are dentists who specialize in this, who know how to do it. But there's so many things that you need to know about your health. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Longevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Longevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Steve Day from Home for Health. And if you're out there listening, audience, you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And certainly, if you have something you'd like to know, give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Steve, how can people get in touch with you? And certainly, what happens if they do? And put out your telephone number, your web page. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, the website is homeforhealth.net. That's home, forhealth.net. And they can call us at 888-642-9644, 888-642-9644. And we'll get back to them. What will happen is the secretary will take a message, and then we'll get back after the program. Usually there's quite a bit of phone calls that will come in, and it'll take a little bit of time for us to sort through it. And we will mail out an information packet. If somebody out there has friends or family that they think might be interested in this type of a program, we can send out multiple brochures and booklets, and they can go and share these with whoever they like. And we're happy to talk to people about whatever their health concerns. If they have a health problem that maybe wouldn't permit coming into a session like this, we would let them know, and we would give them the best information we could to help them get on their way and to get into a position where they could get well. So we do our very best, and we help a lot of people with whatever we can. And, yeah, so that's it. I will say that Dr. Stan, we talked, I think it was earlier yesterday, about gardening and agriculture, and I do solicit as many people that are interested in that vein, too. I'm really, I feel like I'm a missionary of agriculture. I'm trying to teach people how to actually grow the nutritious food that we need so badly in today's society where, again, everything is so deficient in the vital elements.
And I really think that's so vitally important because basically so much of our food, I mean, it looks fine in grocery stores, a big round of red tomatoes, but a lot of them are grown without any actual nutritional value. And so just as it's fruit, certainly, you can actually improve the mineral content and the healing content of food if it's properly prepared. So what would you tell people? How would they know whether the things that their fruits and vegetables they're buying are really nutritious? And certainly, aren't they better, certainly, at least to be eating fruits and vegetables than not to be eating them, even if they're not certainly grown organically?
Well, that's a good question. And yeah, I mean, you're better off to eat the fruits and vegetables because they're going to be more wholesome. There's more nutrition that's going to be in that in comparison to any processed food that's going to be out there. An example, something like wheat being ground into bread, the flour that is used to make that bread is usually weeks, if not years old by the time it's actually processed. And most of the vital minerals, probably one third of the vital elements that are in that bread, actually dissipate just into the thin air within a couple of days. I think within 48 hours time frame, you lose most of the magnesium and most of the B vitamins. That's why they put all these artificial ones back in. But so the fresher and the, even in vicinity, the closer the better, you know, which is going to be healthier, a carrot. You're in California, a carrot from New York. When you're in California, or a carrot from California, and the answer should be a carrot from California. It's going to be fresher. It's going to have more vital elements and energy. And California carrots do taste better than carrots like from Michigan usually. Anyway, there's a lot of things that can be done. I do try to teach people the necessity of either helping do a community garden, growing a small garden in their backyard. Several people that have left here have gone and started. They've taken a portion of their backyard and started a little garden there, or teamed up with other people to grow in their backyard. And I'll share one simple tool. It's called a refractometer. It's used to measure the dissolved solids of the sugars and minerals in the fruits and vegetables. And I think International Ag Labs, if they will Google that, International Ag Labs has a chart that will measure the nutrition of the fruits and vegetables based upon that Brix level using a refractometer. And I think the instructions should be on their website. Another thing I would say, Dr. Stan, is when we came here, we inherited Kentucky soil, which, you know, is generally pretty worn out from years of tobacco or whatever was grown on it, corn and all that kind of stuff. And so we started with a soil test, and we had our soil analyzed to see where it was out of whack with where it should be ideally. And then we got the recommendations to put back in all those elements that need to be back in the soil. And you would be surprised how, you know, the cabbage leaves and the broccoli, they might have been, you know, palm size when we started, when the soil was out of balance. But today, some of those cabbage and broccoli leaves are 2 feet across, and they're producing beautiful heads of cabbage and big heads of broccoli. And all sorts of things can magnificently change just with adding in a few elements that were missing in the soil.
And, of course, we get the minerals which keep us healthy from our food. And basically, of course, if you're not eating good food, you're not going to get the minerals and the vitamins, the other things you need to keep you healthy. Would that be a fair appraisal?
Absolutely, Dr. Stan. We try to get people to grow the stuff, and we know that practically is not going to be what everyone can do, but doing their very best with whatever they can, and eating vegetables is especially important. Fruits taste good, and fruits are good for you, but the vegetables have a tendency to have more of the minerals that we really are lacking. And so eating a broad variety of vegetables, even going out and buying a juicer, you can usually find somebody who's paid good money for a quality juicer and then never used it and put it on Craigslist or something like that. And you can pick those up real cheap, and then you can use them and make the juice. The juice doesn't require the digestion that the whole foods do. And I was inspired early on by people like Jay Cordage and I forget the gentleman that used to do the push-ups one-armed on television and that passed away recently, but all sorts of Iron Man stunts, Jack LaLanne.
Right.
But this fresh vegetable and fruit juices that go in the body and energize the body, they are very critical in maintaining health. And I started drinking juices 15 years ago, and I'll tell you that as a kid, I couldn't read a book and read a paragraph and retain anything in it. I'd read the same lines over and over again. But once I started juicing and all this stuff, my memory sharpened, and I can still remember pages. I can actually see the pages and the words on the page and the number of the page from books that I started reading once I started juicing. So it's very, very important for sharpening the mind and the physical power, and very beneficial.
Okay, well, let's go to Sandy, who's calling us from Yakima, Washington. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. Sandy, a question or comment?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Stan. Mr. Day, I was wondering if you felt that it was very, very harmful to cook your food in the microwave.
Oh, my wife and I haven't owned a microwave since, I think, 2000. Actually, we have never owned a microwave. We moved into a house in 2000, and we threw away our microwave. So, yeah, I don't think that it's a very good thing to have at all. It distorts the proteins in there so that they're, by and large, unusable by the body. And it's radiation is destroying virtually all your antioxidants in the food. It's just not a very helpful thing. Steaming... I don't believe there's anything wrong with cooking your food. I'm not like a raw foodist. I do think we should eat as much quality raw food as we can, but yes. I definitely, anybody out there that has a microwave, you could probably get some money out of it for scrap metal.
Okay, anything else, Sandy?
No, that's good. Thank you.
All right, fine. We've got Andy calling us from Tennessee. We'll put Andy on here in just a moment or two. And basically, of course, our guest is Steve Day. And, of course, his facility is called Home for Health, and it's a lodge there in the backwoods of Kentucky. And let's go to – hi, Andy. How are we doing?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks. So, Brother Steve, how long have you been there? How long have you been there at Home for Health?
Oh, we've been here 3.5 years.
Did you do similar work before that?
Yes, we used to travel around. We worked with several people. Actually, my wife and I initially started in the state of Tennessee working with some people down there and working primarily with people with cancer in the beginning. We've expanded much, much more since then. But overall, we've been working with people that are sick with chronic illness for the past 15 years.
But there's more or less a common denominator between all of these illnesses. Anything else, Adam?
Yeah, I'm just wondering... in that it's you've been at it for 15 years. Have you noticed, a change in the types of diseases or, the types of clients over that time? Has society been moving in any particular direction?
Question, Adam. I mean, more or less, things like autism. I mean, I remember being in school, it was rare to see a child with autism, but today we see so many children with autism, and you'd have to be insane not to realize that the rates of autism are skyrocketing.
It used to be there were 2 in every 10,000, and now it's 1 in 65 boys. So, yeah, so many diseases are multiplying, Adam. Anything else?
I know that this is a kind of a biblically oriented program. How do you see it? Do you see any connection between end time and health? I mean, how are we going to maintain our health, or how do which final events kind of factor into personal health?
Yeah, that's really good, Adam. You know, I know a lot of people out there that kind of think that, hey, if we all team together, we can kind of buck the system. You know, there's some popular radio show hosts out there, but I think that we're actually probably beyond that point where we're going to change things. But what we can do is we can change ourselves, our mindset, and we can take the power over, the soil in our backyard. We can grow our own food. That's an act of independence. We can educate ourselves to not be participating in, you know, ordering the foods from the fast food restaurant that are going to make us sick, and not only not buy that food, which is going to cause sickness, but take the money that we would spend in that and put it in more productive things, like supporting programs like Radio Liberty. And we can do all sorts of things that can educate people. And to me, my perspective is that I'd like to help as many people as I possibly can while times are good, so that they might be better prepared for when times are bad, because they are coming.
And Adam, we're living in a post-Christian America. America is no longer a Christian nation. The wicked people are in complete and total control. And basically, I fear that God is going to bring his judgment on this nation. I wish it weren't true, but I really feel we're in for some very, very difficult times. Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Yeah, thank you. I do have that concern that... the new Jesus video, a movie that came out on, the History Channel. We bought it, and I was just shocked at one point where Jesus is on the boat, and he says, we're going to change the world.
And well, but that's not what the Bible says.
Exactly. You know, it seems like there's this hijack effort. I'm just concerned that, I think it's destructive to our health when we get such a burden to think that the whole world, you know, the fate of the world is on our shoulders. We've got to change the world, save the planet. You know, you can gain the world and lose your soul.
Amen. You're absolutely right. God bless you and thank you very much. I share your concern. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I would suggest that if you're going to see something on the History Channel or the Discovery Channel, I would not necessarily think that it will have anything to do with Christianity. The purpose of television is to destroy Christianity. And they've infiltrated our churches. They've infiltrated our seminaries. They've changed the music and the message of the church. In fact, recently, several articles in the New York Times where the new pope is talking about the gay group, the gay cabal at the highest levels of the Catholic Church. And you can certainly look this up on the internet. The new pope is talking about their studies that show there is a gay cabal working within the highest levels of the Catholic Church. We're in real trouble, but then, of course, they're in the Protestant Church as well. Anyway, Steve, what are your thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners this evening?
Oh, Dr. Stan, I could just listen to you all day, and I'm so glad that you're out there telling people the way things really are, because if they're dependent upon the mainstream media, if they're dependent upon mainstream publications and all of this kind of stuff for their news, for their entertainment, they're going to be deceived, and this deception is going to be so great that it could deceive the very elect. But merely by tuning into radio shows like yours, Dr. Stan, you're showing that you're not part of the world, that you're actually breaking free and coming out of the system. I want to applaud you and the radio listeners. I think it's wonderful what everyone is doing. And together we can change other people's lives. We're not going to change the world, but we can help people and we can be a part of the salvation of their souls. Anybody out there that is interested, they have chronic ailments, there's some sort of sickness going on, they have concerns, and they're looking for an alternative treatment program. The answer is not in Mexico. The answer is not in Europe. It's right here in your own backyard. And they can call a place here that's Christian-based, much lower cost, Home for Health. And the website is homeforhealth.net, home, F-O-R, health.net. And the 800 number, we'd be happy to talk with you, is 888-642-9644. Again, that's 888-642-9644.
And I would simply point out that I think the body wants to heal itself. I think God designed our bodies so we would be healthy, but we are constantly being poisoned. And they're poisoning the air, and they're poisoning the food, and they're poisoning the water. And people find it very difficult to believe these things are happening. Certainly the dentists have been poisoning people for years with mercury fillings, and certainly the physicians are poisoning people with their vaccine shots. Why? Because the vaccine shots alter our immune response. And certainly if you look at Amish children and Mennonite children, they don't have the asthma. They do not have the allergies. They do not have the autoimmune disease. that you see in the children who are taking the vaccines. Yes, the vaccines have altered the course of disease. Yes, Sydney, and some people will tell you that the smallpox would have gone away, that the smallpox vaccine didn't work, it was a fraud, and basically these people are just uninformed. Doing away with smallpox was a great accomplishment of public health. Certainly doing away or almost doing away with the polio, a great accomplishment. And you try telling some doctor that it's not, he's going to look at you as a nut. And basically what they've done is they've infiltrated the conservative groups out here, and they've given them a lot of faulty information, so they will simply shoot themselves in the foot. You need to be able to look at things objectively. You need to give credit where credit is due, and you need to be objective about what the harm is. And it's a cost-benefit ratio. Is the benefit worth the cost? I mean, do you want your child to be autistic? You very seldom, if ever, see autism today in children who don't take vaccines. Are you willing to give your son one chance in about 63 or 64 of becoming autistic so that they alter the course of measles? Not the measles is going to hurt him to have. Everybody had it at one time, and most kids came through just fine. Our guest has been Steve Day. Steve, always a pleasure. We'll look forward to talking to you again next month.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good night. God bless.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do unto self. Being free of disease is real well. Home for Health.
There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
This is Dr. Stan back here, and certainly our guest has been Steve Day this evening, and I think that you need to heed what he's talking about. Now, if you want to know more about this, we have a wonderful book written by Dr. Blaylock. It's called Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. We also have another book. It's The Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life by Dr. Blaylock. We think every family should have them. And basically, then, of course, we have certainly my talk on vaccines, The Specter Haunting America, where I go into the background of basically what the vaccines did, what they knew about them, and how when they knew there was a live polio virus in the polio vaccine, they gave it anyway, and they killed, I mean, dozens of people and it contaminated them. And then when they knew there was a virus that produced polio, pardon me, a virus that produced cancer in the polio virus, they gave it anyway. And this story is told in a book published by the government. It's called The Health Century. We have used copies of it. It's the story of Bernice Eddy, a woman worked for the Centers for Disease Control, and she found the live virus in the polio vaccine. She said, you can't give this vaccine. It's got a live polio virus in it. And they gave it to her, and then they gave it to the public, and they demoted Dr. Eddy and put her into a laboratory where they thought that she would spend the rest of her life accomplishing nothing. And, of course, it was had to do with looking for cancer viruses, which they didn't really believe in at the time. And she found the cancer virus in the polio vaccine, and she tried to tell them and warn them they were giving a virus to millions of people. And they did. About 30 million people today carry that virus. They will carry it the rest of their lives. The women will pass it on to their children. And we have an epidemic of cancer because of that. And when they learned about the cancer virus and the polio vaccine, they gave it anyway. Health Century, it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need to get my talk, Vaccines, The Specter Haunting America. And there's so much more. Certainly, to really put things into perspective, because how do you make sense out of insanity? Well, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness, which will give you insight into what's really going on and the spiritual battle, at least, or aspects of the battle in which we're engaged today. Because if you don't understand we're involved in the spiritual battle, very little that's taking place makes any sense. Now, also, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, and we hope you'll go there and certainly watch our DVDs and listen to our radio programs. You can listen to them live 4 hours a day, and certainly you can listen to them archived 24 hours a day, and we keep them up there for 6 weeks. And we try to have interesting but informative programs for you. And then, of course, you can read our newsletters going back to the mid-1990s, and our current newsletters written by William Grigg, who's our next guest for the next hour. It's all available at radioliberty.com, and then I need to remind you that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there in the listening audience and you have the ability to help us, if you believe in what we're doing, you'd like to become part of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And basically, of course, if you are certainly not in a position to help us financially, we would ask that you pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection, because I believe God's prayers have kept us safe. I haven't had a death threat in a good long while, and we've been able to hang on and continue doing what we're doing. In contrast to other people who've had some very, very strange things happening to them on a regular basis. And one of them, William Cooper, they sent a SWAT team out to kill him. He was a talk show host. We interviewed him. I interviewed him, and he interviewed me. And but, of course, he was gunned down by the police.
While a storm cloud gathers all across the sea, let us swear allegiance for a land so fair. fiber.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian and Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Grigg, who's a certainly one of the outstanding writers of our time. He was formerly the senior writer, senior editor for the New American Magazine, and he has been a temporary editor of Republic Magazine. He is a prolific writer, and certainly you can get his articles regularly at lewrockwell.com. Not only that, but if you subscribe to the Radio Liberty family of supporters and you get our monthly newsletter, why, William Grigg writes that newsletter. Hi, William. How are we doing?
Dr. Stan, I'm doing well, and as always, a pleasure to be with you this evening.
Well, what are we going to be talking about?
We're going to have to talk about the Edward Snowden case, or Snowden, forgive me, case again, but I think that we're going to have to address it from perhaps a slightly different vector, and that has to do with the way that the instrumentality of conformity has attacked him. And the themes which are being promoted by people in the commanding heights of the media in terms of how we should perceive whistleblowers, if we're going to be dutiful drones in the collectivist hive mind. One of the themes that's being advanced, of course, is the idea that the real problem with Edward Snowden is that he has not been fully assimilated into our culture because he's a high school dropout, somebody who didn't go to college. And in spite of these purported disabilities, he went on to become a very accomplished information technology wizard and somebody who could receive a $200,000 annual salary with the contractor that was working for the National Security Agency. And if he, like so many others, had been willing to take that paycheck and to carry out what he was ordered to do without allowing his conscience to intrude on the matter, then we would never have heard of him. And if we had heard of him at some future point, he would be touted as the success story. This would reflect great credit not only upon him, but more importantly upon the establishment that conferred such benefits upon somebody who couldn't finish high school. Unfortunately for that narrative, but fortunately for us, Mr. Snowden has a conscience, and he has not been inclined to repress that conscience. And so when confronted with obvious and persistent and all-encompassing evidence of crimes against the Constitution, crimes against common decency, he did the decent thing at some apparent cost to himself personally. I'm not going to go so far as to say that he should be looked upon as a fair and stainless knight in shining armor. I don't know enough about him to be inclined to say that he's in all ways exemplary, but in terms of what he has done by way of disclosing for public edification the crimes being committed by the agency that had employed him through a cutout, he's done something that was genuinely heroic and patriotic, which is why the collectivists are going after him hammer and tongs.
But, you know, the most amazing thing is, William, as you know, we've been talking about this for a long period of time. Joel Scouse and I, other people said they have known for a long time. They were listening to all of our telephone calls. And basically, they were simply violating the law. But certainly we did not have certainly the outreach that the news media did. The big question is, why did they ever allow this information to get out? There's so many stories there, and they could have suppressed this if they wanted to, and they didn't do it. That's the question.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody who listens to our program knows, of course, that they listen to every telephone call, read every fax, read every email. They, of course, they do it with computers, looking for keywords. Oh, except I suspect on mine, people like me and you. Why they do, they have people actually monitoring everything we do. We'll be back in a moment.
While the storm clouds gather, far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair, as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the ocean white with gold, God bless America, my home sweet home.
I did. Don't be late.
No.
White with gold. God bless America. My home.
Right, Pop?
Right, son.
This is Dr. Stan. I guess it would agree, and we're speaking about Edward Snowden and certainly the fact that he has actually, for one reason or another, the media has been willing to pick up his story, and certainly is not only The Guardian and then The Washington Post talking about certainly the revelation that, and even The New York Times is not completely condemning this gentleman who has exposed the fact that the government is listening to all of our conversations and reading all of our emails and violating the law. But they say, well, of course, you know, we have the right to do that. And we prevented all these terrorist attacks because they won't tell us what they are, because, of course, it's all secret. But you have to distrust this people, this military admiral, I think he is. Oh, we have certainly protected you from all these terrorist attacks. This, trust me, you know, I'm from the government. I would never lie to you. Go right ahead.
That, of course, is one of the through lines in the way that the public is being indoctrinated here, is the idea that beneath everything that's happening, there is some kind of institutional integrity here, and that the people who are running these programs have our best interests at heart and in mind. And one of the reasons why there has been sort of a Nixonian modified limited hangout on this issue, I think, characterize what's going on in those terms, that rather than trying to stuff everything back into the toothpaste tube, they're allowing some public discussion on this issue, is I think that they want to find out how far they can push what's going on, how deep and widespread is the docility of the American public. I think last week when I was on the program, Dr. Stan, I mentioned that on the Twitter social media site, there is an account that is at Nothing to Hide. If you're familiar with the way that Twitter operates, that's the name of an account that's maintained by somebody who's posting or actually reposting comments that are made elsewhere on Twitter by people who are presenting some variation on the theme of the idea that if we are not terrorists, then we have nothing to hide. We shouldn't object when the government is keeping us under unlimited warrantless surveillance. Almost every one of these short messages features some version of the phrase, I have nothing to hide, I don't mind because I have nothing to hide. The fact is, of course, that's something we've talked about frequently. Every one of us has something to hide. That one of the inevitable consequences of living in a sensible world is that we have to hide some of what we do, or at least we seek privacy. In the prelapsarian paradise that was the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were naked and unashamed. That's before sin entered the world. And one of the first consequences of sin is they had to put on clothing. And that underscores the fact that human beings, in our present circumstances, have things that we want to hide from each other just as a matter of privacy and personal dignity and decency. And there's no reason at all why we shouldn't perceive unwarranted, unlawful surveillance as an injury. A voyeur doesn't need to commit a physical attack upon his victim in order to be committing a crime. If you're intruding upon somebody's privacy by peering through your neighbor's windows while your neighbor is undressed or just minding his own business, you've committed an outrage upon that the privacy, the property of that individual.
But I think it's vitally important that we teach people how to answer that. Well, look, why should we be concerned? Suddenly just because they're collecting this information, I have nothing to hide. And the answer to that simply is, why was it that American corporations and American banks financed the Nazis both before and during the Second World War? Why was certainly after Prescott Bush, the grandfather of President Bush, the father of President Bush, why was Prescott Bush indicted for collaboration with the Nazis in 1942, and why was his indictment simply squelched? Why did the Obama administration kill the innocent son of a man who they had accused, never indicted, but they had accused him of being a terrorist? He was an American citizen. He was not giving a trial. There was no somebody who said it's all right. You know, no judge had gone over the case and said it's all right to kill him. They just killed the father, and then 2 weeks later they killed the son. If there's nothing to hide, why did they kill the son?
Yeah.
Basically, you see, what you need to do when you're in this discussion is you go on the offensive. Don't go on the defensive.
Exactly.
Go right ahead.
The question isn't what we have to hide. The question is, by what right do they want to intrude upon our privacy? They have no right, no warrant, no legal justification to intrude upon our privacy. They have no permission. They are supposed to be our servants. The servant is not greater than the master. We have not ordained or mandated that they violate our privacy. That privacy belongs to me. It belongs to the people with whom I choose to share it by way of covenant in my marriage and by way of familial responsibility with respect to my children and with those people with whom I worship, those people with whom I have business relations. These people are all entitled to some element of my private life, but I have not chosen to share it with people who are strangers working for three-letter agencies in the employ of the world's largest and most feculent criminal syndicate, the federal government of the United States.
And I think it's so important that we understand it is a criminal syndicate. They kill people. I mean, certainly the criminals kill people and our government kills people. I actually have a 4-tape set called Deadly Assassins, where I interview 2 government assassins and then a man who tracked down the man who was paid to kill General George Patton. And basically, of course, this is not imaginary. It's real. There's no question they killed suddenly John Kennedy. In fact, some of the people involved have come forward and admitted it. They killed Bobby Kennedy. They killed Martin Luther King. What was their crime? I mean, well, basically, they wanted to kill them. And they wanted to know all the details about them. We're collecting dossiers on everybody out there in the listening audience. And if you don't believe that, just go to the Fusion Center, F-U-S-I-O-N Center. Look it up, certainly, on your start page. And understand that they are correlating and gathering information on everybody in the audience tonight. Go right ahead.
And it's also worth pointing out that for all the proud boasting that Mr. Obama and the head of the NSA have offered with respect to the supposed terrorist plots that have been interdicted through eavesdropping, that didn't happen in Boston with the Boston Marathon bombing, which was carried out by a couple of people who almost certainly were disposable patsies or in some sense controlled or manipulated by people working for the federal government when they're staging these Homeland Security theater operations. It's worth pointing out that most of these so-called plots are contrived by the federal government. They're orchestrated for public consumption. And it's also worth pointing out when they're talking about the collection of this intelligence, that they're not directing this collection effort outward. They're directing it inward because we're all treated as a pool of suspects rather than as citizens who are supposed to be protected from foreign threats. That's been happening, of course, for a number of decades. It really accelerated after the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing. And the Oklahoma City bombing was staged by the FBI. I am of the opinion that the likeliest hypothesis here, the likeliest scenario here, involves a sting operation that got out of hand or that might have been internally sabotaged by some element within the FBI. But there's simply no disputing here that the people involved in the Oklahoma City bombing were on the payroll of the FBI and probably two or three other three-letter agencies, just about every principal involved in this. And one of the most important offshoots of that is the murder by the FBI, torture murder of Kenneth Tredadue, who had the misfortune of being a parolee. He was on probation. He had been a bank robber, and he very strongly resembled, almost to a point that defies credibility, one of the John Does, one of the other John Does, the others unknown, mentioned in the original indictment having to do with the Oklahoma City bombing. He very strongly resembled at least one of these bank robbers that have been involved in the federally manipulated Aryan white supremacist criminal syndicate, bank robbery gang, the Aryan Republican Army. And the mistaken identity here resulted in Kenneth Tredadue being beat to death and tortured in a federal detention center in Oklahoma. And then the next thing they were going to do with Mr. Tredadue's body was they were going to cremate it without having a medical examiner run an autopsy. And so Kenny Tredadue's mother was called by the warden of the prison and told that her son had committed suicide. That was the original story. And that they were going to cremate the body, and she had to get an injunction to prevent them from destroying the body, destroying the physical evidence. The same sort of thing that happened, really, with John F. Kennedy, of all the unlikely things, if you take a look at the way that the Secret Service violated the laws of the state of Texas and the county in which Dallas was found in order to take control of the body before it could be examined by the medical examiner, by the coroner, in that jurisdiction. They kept control of the body, and they stuffed it on a plane. They took it back to Bethesda as a way of getting it out of the hands of people who were independent and who could competently investigate what had happened. And if they had done this, they would have, of course, found the physical evidence that he had been shot in the front rather than by the single bullet in the back. You know, they would have had an anomalous number of entry wounds in unusual places. But, you know, that really is sort of the urtext of how these people operate, is what happened with JFK assassination. That's a subject about which I've not had a whole lot of interest until lately, when I started to read a fascinating new book by a quote-unquote secular journalist named Mark Crispin Miller. It's called Conspiracy Theory in America. Mark Crispin Miller is not somebody who'd be dismissed as a right-wing nut job. He's not somebody who's generally mentioned in the same breath with people like Alex Jones or like you or me, Dr. Stan. But one of the points that he makes in this book is very provocative and very compelling, is the fact that the CIA, immediately after the assassination of John F. Kennedy, once the Warren Commission was put into place, began the systematic demonization of what they called conspiracy theorists. That phrase did not enter the American vernacular until after the John F. Kennedy assassination, and after the CIA, through Operation Mockingbird and its other ways of manipulating the media, started this systematic, ritualistic execration of those who believe that there are crimes that are committed by cliques within the government, at the expense of the public interest. And we're seeing really those themes being played out right now with respect to Mr. Snowden and with respect to those of us who are critics of the surveillance state.
And if anybody would like to know the real story of what happened there, we have an interview with a 2-hour interview with Lyndon Johnson's mistress, who tells about the meeting the night before where they actually planned the murder.
Kind of makes you think of Blake, doesn't it? Makes you think of a lot of things. We're going to be in this yet, Mom.
Hello, Sam.
Hi, Mom. Hello, darling.
Here's some?
Brand new, first time in the year.
Brand new, my eye. You know, I threw that song out of Yip Yip Yap Bang 22 years ago. Sounds better now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's William Grigg. I would simply point out, if you want to know about what happened to John Kennedy, we have a great 4-tape set. It's called JFK, and certainly it includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. But you never heard an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. An interview with Dr. Crenshaw, who was at the hospital there in Dallas when then they brought in President Kennedy, and certainly. But he was tells you how he was threatened and told he would never be allowed to practice medicine if he ever never told what he saw. He was threatened, ladies and gentlemen. Why would they threaten the resident working in the emergency room that night? Why to silence him? And then there's a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the CIA liaison to the he was the Pentagon liaison to the CIA, who is actually immortalized in Oliver Stone's movie, JFK. And then, of course, we have a JFK update, where you'll actually hear a two-hour interview with Madeleine Duncan Brown, who is Lyndon Johnson's mistress, who tells about the meeting and who attended the meeting the night before when the final decision was made to kill President Kennedy. Fascinating information you'll never hear discussed elsewhere. They killed about well over 100 of the people who were on the grassy knoll who saw what happened that day. They just died under very mysterious circumstances. Anybody who talked about the fact that this was a government cover-up, why, they were simply eliminated at that time. This is not imaginary, ladies and gentlemen. This is really very real. This is what's going on because a group of very wicked people have taken over control of our nation. Go right ahead, William.
The problem that most people have in dealing with events like JFK assassination or ongoing initiatives like the NSA's warrantless wiretapping program and the creation of the surveillance state is that they don't apply the logic of criminal investigation to the actions of government. People assume that government and the criminal underworld are discrete phenomena, that they do not overlap, when actually there is a great deal of continuity between the criminal underworld and the political overworld. I never tire of reflecting upon St. Augustine's insight that the difference between a criminal band and a government is that a government is a specific type of criminal band that conquers territory, asserts its claim over territory, gives itself sovereignty, gives itself jurisdiction, and then uses the power of legislation to legalize certain crimes against those who are being governed. To an extent greater than any previous government in human history, the founder, the republic created by the founding fathers was intended to make the government subordinate to the law. The written law, obviously, but also, of course, the law which is written on man's heart, which is ultimately, of course, the Golden Rule and the Ten Commandments. And so they created a framework where the government itself would be ruled by law on the assumption that its dealings would be made transparent to the public in whose name it governed. What we have now is a system where we're made transparent to those who presume to rule us, and their dealings are perfectly opaque to us. We're living in a society that is defined by a one-way mirror. They can see everything we do, and to an extent unprecedented in our history. We can see very little, if anything, of what they do.
If I could just comment, if you want to know the relationship between the CIA and the mafia, there's a wonderful book. It's written by Chuck Giancano, whose brother was Sam Giancano, who was deeply involved with the murder of President Kennedy. And Sam Giancano was the head of the mob, Sydney in Chicago. And Chuck Giancano was not part of the mob. He was his brother, though, and he knew it had happened. And the book is titled Double Cross, yeah, simply going into the idea that Sam Giancano was working closely with the CIA. They helped him. He helped them. He helped them kill a president. And then those ungrateful people in the government killed him. They killed Sam Giancano to silence him. How unethical can you be when you're certainly, you have the mafia and the CIA working together? And Sam would have considered killing people in the CIA, but the people in the CIA were quite willing to kill Sam Giancano. The book Double Cross, you can find it. It's written by Chuck Giancano. It's available last time I saw on Amazon. And a very important book. But the last thing they want you to know is we have a criminal element. They control our government. They're called the Central Intelligence Agency. And they're working hand in glove with the NSA, the National Security Agency. And then, of course, there may be all sorts of other agencies we don't know about. But behind them are powerful demonic forces. That's why my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, is so vitally important. And why you must understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle. We're being played out on a political battlefield, but it is a spiritual battle. There really are demonic forces there. Our telephone number, pardon me, our telephone number 1-800-544-8897. If you'd like to get those tape sets, we have another new DVD by Bob Fletcher on the murder of Jack Kennedy. But they murder anybody they want to, and they get away with it, just like they murdered all those people in the Twin Towers. That was a controlled demolition, ladies and gentlemen, a controlled demolition.
Step into a little booth. I'll remember in November to vote for anyone but you. Remember me, you're taking all my money. Remember me, you gave my job away. Remember me, or am I just a number? Who's white and straight and doesn't qualify for an aid? Remember me, I helped you get elected. But you haven't done one thing you said you'd do. But even though you'd rather not remember me, I'll remember you. I'll remember in November, as I step into a little booth. I'll remember in November to vote for anyone but you. Remember me, I served my country proudly. Remember me, I love the USA. Remember me, or am I just some bumpkin who you didn't think would notice the bounce checks and midnight raids? Remember me, I wrote you all those letters, thinking that you cared what I thought too. Well, even though you often just forget to remember, I'll remember you. Well, I'll remember in November, as I step into a little booth. I'll remember.
This is Dr. Stan. Our guest is William Grigg, and go right ahead, William.
One of the most important things that people need to remember about government is the fact that it is institutionalized force and aggression. And the founders of our country intended to rein in government's aggressive tendencies by making it, first of all, accountable to people, and secondly, perhaps even more importantly, making it subordinate to law. And we cannot have a republic if everything we do is laid bare to those who presume to rule us, while their deliberations and their policy decisions are conducted behind an impenetrable barricade. And one of the things that is being done right now in this controlled public discussion over the Edward Snowden revelations is that they are making the whistleblower the issue. The assumption is that it would be almost impossible to defend a decision to make public that which has been made officially secret. That's the way that the discussion is being framed.
But, of course, it's all in the name of protecting us from those wicked terrorists who've been financed by the CIA since the inception of this battle. Basically, you know, we went to war with Afghanistan back in 2001. We went to war with Afghanistan because 15 Saudi Arabians attacked the World Trade Center. At least that's what we're told, the World Trade Center, and certainly hijacked a plane that was crashed there in Shanksville, and certainly have crashed a plane into the Pentagon. We're told that these hijackers did it. They did it with box knives and box cutter knives. But 15 of them were Saudi Arabians, so we went to war with Afghanistan. And nobody's ever asked, why did we go to war with Afghanistan? These people came from Saudi Arabia. Many of them were certainly on the Saudi Arabians' payroll. Why did we attack Afghanistan when it was obvious Saudi Arabia was deeply involved in this? And nobody ever asked. Nobody ever asked.
Because we're not encouraged to ask. That's a cultivated incuriosity that is another part, another facet of this issue with the Edward Snowden revelation. Here's a really interesting little tidbit that I extracted from an interview with John Bolton. John Bolton, of course, is a former official in the Bush administration. And before that, he was in, I believe, the first Bush administration. He was the UN ambassador to George W. Bush. He's a consistent exponent of the view that the United States government should be at war with pretty much everybody all the time. But shortly after Edward Snowden leaked details of the NSA program, and by the way, as you point out, Dr. Stan, this is not anything that we didn't know or didn't suspect. The real nub of this issue, I think, is that Edward Snowden validated all the so-called conspiracy theories about the NSA. That, I think, is the source of true outrage on behalf of the bien pensants here, is that he vindicated, underscored, and ratified everything that people like you and me have been saying for years or decades about the extent to which the government is keeping us under illegal, unlawful surveillance. He made the conspiracy theorists, in other words, into people who were promoting facts, and that's something that is simply not to be done. You cannot allow people to become distrustful of those who are governing them for the mindset of the state of collectivism. But Mr. Bolton was on WLS Radio, which I think is in the Capitol area, just shortly after Mr. Snowden went public. This is what he had to say about Mr. Snowden. Number one, this man is a liar. He took an oath to keep the secrets that were shared with him so he could do his job. He said that he would not disclose them, and he lied. Just to stop right there and interject something I consider to be very important, he didn't lie because those promises were made to a party that was acting in bad faith. And when you learn that the party that is on the other side of a transaction has deceived you, you are not morally required to continue as if you are in a good faith binding relationship of honorable commitment with that other party. If you find out, for instance, that you have been deceived into making promises on false pretenses that morally compromise you, you're not a liar if you decide you're no longer bound by those promises. That's not a lie. That reflects, of course, human imperfection. And that's something that we will end up doing because we are deceived. We're susceptible to deception. We will make bad decisions. But when you're in a relationship where you are bound by promises to a group that is committing crimes against innocent people, the fact that you are no longer bound by those promises doesn't make you a liar. That makes you, I suppose, a defector. When, for instance, people who had made covenantal promises to the Ku Klux Klan, or rather oath-bound fraternities, of which, of course, there is always a surfeit. There are all kinds of cliques and ententes and conspiracies and collusive bodies that are bound by oaths of loyalty. And when somebody leaves the Klan or a similar group of that kind after making serious promises and swearing oaths of confidentiality, we don't consider that person to be a liar. We consider that person to be penitent. When, for instance, Joseph Valachi and some of the other people who were part of La Cosa Nostra, the mafia, made their first disclosures of the hierarchical structure of that organization and described their initiation rites and things of that sort, they were breaking promises, too. They were breaking promises that had bound them in iniquity to groups of people who were combined against the interests of the law-abiding. It's the same thing Mr. Snowden did. same thing could be said of people who defected from communist governments or national socialist governments or other governments that are even more overtly criminal syndicates than the one afflicting our country. These people have decided they will no longer be bound by commitments that they made when either they were acting out of deception or out of corrupt self-interest.
Well, no, I think, though, that basically rather than try to defend Snowden, I would simply point out the president. Obama consistently lies.
Sure.
He promises that he would certainly do away with this sort of thing. And he promised to get our troops out of Afghanistan. He promised to do all of those things. Are you going to call him a liar, Mr. Bolton?
Well, his critique, Mr. Bolton's critique of Mr. Obama, is that Obama is insufficiently tyrannical in pursuing open-ended war against everybody. That's pretty much the standard neoconservative position regarding Mr. Obama's delinquency.
Mr. Bolton is part of the conspiracy, and basically one of the neoconservatives. I don't know if he's trilateral, I've forgotten, but he's part certainly of this whole movement to take us from war to war to war. He is not an honorable man. And
no.
Basically, of course, what they want to do is put us into a defensive position. We must never allow, in the course of discussion, to be put into a defensive position. I believe Snowden ever swear to God that he would never do this? Of course he didn't swear to God.
No.
Because they don't ask people to swear to God. And otherwise, since there are no rights and no wrongs and no absolutes in this society we live in, an oath means, a promise means absolutely nothing. Basically, because I think that he did a very heroic thing, having given up and certainly his pension, having given up a salary. He's risking his life. I suspect before this is over, he'll either end up in jail or they'll kill him. But nobody, of course, is going to comment that they do kill people regularly, that our government hires assassins to kill people who tell the truth. And as we've commented many times, we have a 4-CD set. It's called Deadly Assassins. And you can actually hear me interviewing government assassins. They hire people. They pay people to kill other people. And if you can't speak out against that sort of thing, why you can't speak out against anything. One of the assassins is dead. The others disappeared. Two people appeared on our program. I don't know what happened to the other one. He actually tracked down the man who was paid to kill General Patton, General George Patton. But go right ahead with him.
One of the things that is interesting about Mr. Snowden's case is that he did swear an oath because he once enlisted in the military and he swore an oath to uphold and protect the Constitution. That's the oath, of course, that has primacy when you're talking about other promises that are made subsequent to his enlistment when he's been involved in military, paramilitary, or intelligence contractor work. The professional commitments he made in that context are all subordinate to the oath that he swore to protect the Constitution. If we're going to start prosecuting people for breaking oaths, Mr. Snowden, of course, would be very far back at the very end of a very long queue that would begin with Mr. Obama, who, like every president in my lifetime, committed an act of public perjury on two occasions when he swore that he would preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. Within minutes of making that oath in 2009, he violated it, which is one of the reasons why I've suggested, perhaps somewhat facetiously, that presidents should be simultaneously inaugurated and impeached and then convicted on the impeachment charges the first time they violate their oath of office, which would take all of 10 or 15 minutes, most likely, in the case of practically everybody who rises to that position. But just start with Mr. Obama, you'd start with his dim-witted sidekick, Joe Biden, then you would run the table of just about everybody in Congress, with the exception of maybe four or five people who've done due diligence and made a good faith effort to uphold their oaths to the Constitution. If you're going to be prosecuting oath breakers, I think Mr. Snowden probably wouldn't end up on that list because it would be too voluminous. It would include pretty much everybody in the executive branch as well. But he did, in all likelihood, break professional promises. He had to, because in order to be faithful to his oath to the Constitution, it was necessary that he dissociate himself from the criminal cliques that were violating the Constitution. Now, Mr. Bolton continues in his harangue as follows. He lied because he thinks he's smarter and has a higher morality than the rest of us. This guy thinks he has a higher morality that he can see clearer than the other 299,999,999 of us. Therefore, he can do what he wants. I say this is the worst form of treason. to begin with.
Basically, of course, this is all sophistry. Sophistry is arguing a false point, and Mr. Bolton knows what he's doing. They have to demonize Mr. Snowden, either that, of course, or begin, of course, trying and impeaching and basically certainly indicting people at the highest levels of our government for violation of the Constitution and violating of their oaths of office. And Mr. Bolton knows exactly what he's doing. A standard technique of attacking someone else to distract from the crimes committed by the president, the people who surround him. But remember, of course, the president is simply a front. Mr. Obama doesn't run anything. He is simply controlled by the Trilateral Commission. Why does Mr. Bolton talk about the Trilateral Commission? Or the fact that certainly the president's first national security advisor was General James Jones, who just happened to come from the Trilateral Commission. He was replaced by Thomas Donilon, national security advisor, the closest advisor of the president. Mr. Donilon just happened to come from the Trilateral Commission, and he's most recently been replaced by a woman named Susan Rice, who just happened, just by chance, to come from the membership roles, the previous membership roles of the Trilateral Commission. She had to resign her position when she went to work for government, to control government, to push the Trilateral Commission's agenda. Go ahead.
Yeah, the Trilateral Commission is very prominent in that stagnant, polluted talent pool from which we draw the public officials who are in the executive branch and in the most prominent positions, particularly in foreign policy roles. And Susan Rice, of course, is a longtime confidant of Mr. Obama, probably serves a very similar role in that relationship that Zbigniew Brzezinski did with Jimmy Carter. And Zbigniew Brzezinski, as we know, was the founder, one of the two founders of the Trilateral Commission, David Rockefeller, and also the architect of the Middle East policy from which we're reaping such blessings today. He was the one who created the intelligence finding way back in 1979 that led to the CIA's coup in Kabul that instigated the Afghanistan invasion by the Soviet Union, 10 years of horrible scorched earth warfare that killed millions of Afghans and helped to harden, calcify the group that we're now dealing with in terms of the seedbed, if you will, of the Islamist movement that has been so useful to the same CIA that instigated the coup in the first place. But with respect to what Mr. Bolton's saying about Edward Snowden here, you have this false premise. As you point out, Mr. Bolton is a sophist. He's somebody who argues from a false premise with great passion and conviction, and in this case, not any noticeable level of competence. He talks about the idea that there are 300 million of us, and Mr. Snowden is pitting his intellect and his sense of morality against the collective consensus of the rest of the 300 million. That's not true. Mr. Bolton doesn't speak on behalf of me or on behalf of you or on behalf of tens of millions of other people who have known about what the NSA is doing and have not approved of it. Furthermore, we've not been given the details. So it's not as if we made a conscious decision to support something that is being withheld from us by way of official policy. But the thing I find most repellent about this is the definition of treason that Commissar Bolton is urging upon us. It is rooted in hardcore Soviet-grade collectivism. If you believe that you are an individual who owns himself, as a Christian, of course, I believe that God owns me, but he's given me an exclusive lease on me during my mortal existence. If you believe in some concept of self-ownership, as I've just described, if you believe in the primacy of the conscience, and if you believe that you have an obligation as somebody who owns yourself and is morally accountable for your choices to do that which is morally right rather than that which people in positions of constituted authority would have you do, then you're a traitor, according to Commissar Bolton.
Well, I believe that Mr. Bolton is a traitor. I believe he is part of this whole subversive movement that controls the executive branch of government and works in concert with the Brotherhood of Darkness to undermine and destroy the fabric of our society and to utilize the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a one-world Luciferian government. And if you don't believe it's Luciferian, go to the Trilateral Commission website, trilateral.org, and look at their logo. Look at their logo, and if you look very carefully, you can see the three sixes bound together by an upside-down broken cross. Why would they have pick that logo for the Trilateral Commission? Certainly, before we go on, William, would you go ahead and tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they can certainly get to your essays, and how they can get to your PayPal button?
I appreciate that, Dr. Stan. My chief outlet is still the Pro Libertate blog. You go to Google or Bing or Startpage or some other search engine and type in William N. Grigg, the first return should be Pro Libertate. The direct address is freedominourtime.blogspot.com. freedominourtime.blogspot.com. As you mentioned, Dr. Stan, there is a PayPal button at the bottom of the essay, and I really do appreciate all the help we've received. We do need continued financial support. Things, of course, you well know, are very, very parlous right now for those of us who are independent contractors in the media. I do appreciate all the generous help that you provided, so many of your listeners have offered to me and my family. I should point out that my radio program, which is called Freedom Zealot Radio, is on the Liberty News Radio Network every Saturday night at 8 o'clock Mountain Time, which is 7 o'clock on the West Coast, or I believe 9 o'clock Central Time, at libertyroundtable.com. That's one word, libertyroundtable.com. Freedom Zealot Radio. You go to libertyroundtable.com. You can find a link for a listen live utility that you can use to listen to the program Saturday night, 8 o'clock Mountain Time. And I also write for lewrockwell.com, lewrockwell.com. And a lot of my essays are republished there as well.
And we recommend them too. Certainly William is one of the most insightful thinkers that we have out there. We need to help him, and certainly we need to help those people who are on the front lines of this battle, as William has been for a long, long time. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have right on our side. We need all of you working together in concert to help those who certainly are leading this battle, and William is one of them. We'll be back in a moment to wrap up the program. Well, you have 3 minutes to wrap up tonight's program for us, William.
Well, Dr. Stan, as always, I want to reiterate how much I appreciate this opportunity and how grateful I am, how grateful my family is for the help you provided to us, and for the service that you've rendered for many years on behalf of the truth, on behalf of individual freedom and dignity. And I want to underscore something that you said about the spiritual nature of this battle. Many people who don't share our insight on our Creator and our relationship with Him would find it difficult to credit that the opponents we're talking about, the opposition, are acting on behalf of a religious outlook, a spiritual religious outlook, or a demonic outlook. The fact is, if you take a look at their literature, it's pretty clear that they are bound together by a religious ideal. At the most superficial level, it's the worship of collective human power. These are people who consider themselves self-made men, self-made women, and they worship their respective creators, but they also worship themselves. They believe that through the bonds that they have forged in their entente, in their association, they've created something before which the rest of us must prostrate ourselves. That's why people like John Bolton call it treason for somebody like Edward Snowden to act on, as a matter of conscience, to expose the crimes being committed against us by the government that rules us. As far as they're concerned, people of that ilk, people of Mr. Bolton's ilk, what the people who control the power elite have ordained is manifestly good and correct, and our job is simply to defer to their supposed insights and superior wisdom and to do their bidding irrespective of whether it violates the moral law. Now, those of us who understand that there is a moral law and that we're all subject to it are perhaps incomprehensible to people like that. And there is no moral law that would justify the assumption that whatever government does is right. And one of the things that I hope people take away from the Edward Snowden incident here is the fact that we have a responsibility that may be painful and may involve some material sacrifice to do the morally right thing, irrespective of the inducements to do the wrong thing and the penalties that would be imposed upon us by the criminals who demand that we do the wrong thing. It's an inspiring thing to see a young man have such self-possession and such moral clarity that he would do what Mr. Snowden has done. And we're probably going to be called upon, each of us, to make similar sacrifices in the future. And I certainly hope that we'll have the spiritual personal integrity and the spiritual resources to do that when it's required of us.
Amen to that, and thank you so very much, and may the Lord be with you and your family. We'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We do hope, of course, you enjoy our weekly conversations with William Grigg. He does most of the talking, but he's one of the most insightful and brilliant people I've ever encountered, and we're just privileged to have him here, and I hope you enjoy him, and I hope you appreciate the personal sacrifice he has made to dedicate himself to writing and to trying to get people educated as to what's going on. But sometimes when you do this, you pay a terrible personal price. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and you can certainly subscribe to the Radio Liberty newsletter. You can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, where you'll get our 4 best tapes in the month or 4 best CDs in the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. And then, of course, we do hope you'll consider getting the tape sets and the videos and the books that we offer. And if you haven't read Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. And if you want to get it in bulk, you can get it very economically. But we need to get people to read the book. We have well over 60,000 out, probably closer to 80 to 100,000. We don't keep track of them anymore, but we do know that certainly ministries are putting this book out and reaching people all across America. Under any circumstances, we hope that of course, you might consider helping us by getting the health products that we offer, and they're put out by one of the finest companies in America. They put them out over our label, but you can get them through us. And certainly most people need supplementary vitamin D3. Most people need supplementary magnesium and certainly calcium and selenium. Most people need omega-3 oils. We carry a krill oil. And we carry so many of the things that you really need to have. You can certainly call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, and lay in certainly a supply of these health products. And let me suggest that if you get as many as you can. I do believe that we're heading into a cataclysmic event. It is not in the too distant future. I don't know how soon it is, but it may very well be you're not going to be able to get these health products or other products. And certainly you need to have a Berkey water filter, and you need to have extra filters. You need to have a means of getting water. We're going to be putting a program on some evening, if you'd like, and certainly telling you all the things you need to think about, which most people don't think about. And certainly we have been talking to very smart people, and certainly we've made some preparations. We realize, of course, you can't prepare for everything. And the final analysis, we're going to have to put our faith in the Lord, but I certainly would be foolish not to make the preparations so we can help ourselves and our neighbors and our friends and our family. So basically, of course, if you'd like to get our list of the health products we carry, we do carry the Miracle 2 soap products. We carry the Berkey products, Big Berkey Light, and you need to have the extra filters on hand, and you need to get them for your family and for your certainly the people that are close to you, because you can survive without food for a while, but you can't get by without water. If you have not yet heard our 4 CD set on the threat of an EMP attack, or the DVD and the talk given by Ambassador Henry Cooper at the last Radio Liberty conference in October of last year, well, you can get them by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope, of course, that you want to get the book that we carry called A Nation Forsaken, written by Michael Maloof. Michael was actually 30 years of working for the Defense Department when he ended his career. Why? Because he was a senior analyst reporting directly to the Undersecretary of Defense. And I will tell you, he's spending full time trying to get people to understand that there could be an EMP attack or a massive solar flare, and it could simply wipe out the entire infrastructure of our government, entire infrastructure of our society, and up to certainly 250 million Americans could die. We ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please, please pray for Radio Liberty.
Oh, a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America. Beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountains to the prairie, to the ocean wide with
gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 14 June 2013. And you know what that means. It is Friday, June 14th. A couple of weeks till they put out the Christmas decorations. It is about that time. I'm not kidding you. Hobby Lobby puts theirs out around the 1st of July. So it is almost, 1st of July now. Yeah. You think we're talking about a little seasonal creep here, seasonal creep in a lot of ways, moving it up and getting it on the front page. Anyway, we've got a lot of stuff on the front page today at the Power Hour, and I think you're going to be glad you tuned in today. We're going to try and put it together for you, because when you're getting hit with all this information, the incredible amount of deception that is going on makes it almost difficult for even nearly all of those that of us that pride ourselves in dealing with deception to determine the truth from the deception. Josh is joining me here today, so we'll have his take on all of this. Thank you, Josh, for joining us in the Power Hour.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. The deception that's going on, or the revelation. So